আলহামদুলিল্লাহ রাব্বিল আলামিন ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা সাইয়িদিল মুরসালিন আম্মা বা'দ ফাউযু বিল্লাহি মিনাশ শাইতানির রাজীম বিসমিল্লাহির রহমানির রহিম প্লিজ অ্যাকসেপ্ট মি আসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া রাসূলুল্লাহ ওয়া আলা আলিকা ওয়া আসহাবিকা ইয়া হাবিবাল্লাহ আসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া নাবিয়াল্লাহ ওয়া আলা আলিকা ওয়া আসহাবিকা ইয়া নূরাল্লাহ The Holy Prophet, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated a remarkable hadith, a very beautiful hadith through which we can learn many lessons. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that indeed Allah Almighty has appointed an angel next to my grave, and that this angel has been given the ability to hear the voices of all of creation. By Allah Azza wa Jal. Not just humans, but every single creature. This angel has been given the authority by Allah Azza wa Jal, the ability to hear the sounds, the voices of all of creatures. Now, this is describing the listening power of this angel. But let's go further and listen to what the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam tells us. The Prophet mentions that whenever anyone sends salutations upon me, that angel conveys their name and their father's name to me. And then the Prophet mentioned that this angel then says, هذا فلان ابن فلان قد صلى عليك. What does this angel state? He mentions that, O Prophet, this is so-and-so, son of so-and-so, has sent salutations upon me. That this angel, who's appointed at the grave of the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, this angel has been given this ability to do what? To hear the sounds of creation. Not just humans, but all of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It hears the salutation that is recited by the creation and it presents it to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But doesn't just say that someone has recited durud upon you, but rather this angel has such ability, such power, that it recognizes the individual and presents that individual's name in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the name of the father of this individual to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. This is the remarkable hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam mentions regarding this angel. But there are two things which we can take, two significant lessons that we can take from this hadith. One is regarding our aqidah. One is regarding our belief. And the second point that we can take is regarding ishq. It is regarding love. First of all, what is the duty of this angel? What must this angel do? The angel, it acts as a doorman, as a messenger, outside of the illuminated resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now we need to think and ponder for a second. We can talk about the creation of a mobile phone and the creation of internet and social media, how it allows individuals to communicate from one place on earth to individuals who are at another place in the earth, meaning they can hear the sounds of another creation from across the world through a creation which has been created by mankind, through the ability that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted mankind. We can also talk about the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the creation of this angel. And then Allah Azza wa Jal granted this angel the ability to hear the sounds of creation. And this was the creation of Allah. And through the ability Allah Azza wa Jal granted it, the angel was able to hear the sounds of creation and still can to this date. So a question now arises that this is the creation of mankind through the ability Allah has given mankind. And the angel, this is the creation of Allah And then Allah granted the ability to hear the sounds of creation from afar and have knowledge and recognition of the individual. So the question now arises, everyone must understand this, that then what would be the status? What would be the maqam? What would be the rank of that individual? Who is the greatest creation of Allah Azza wa Jal? Who is the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal? What would be the status, the maqam of the hearing of that individual? Who is the greatest creation of Allah Azza wa Jal? And that is Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. If the angel at the doorstep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it can have this level of hearing, this level of knowledge, then we must consider the status and the maqam that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted to our final prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is one very beautiful point that we can understand from this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. If this messenger at the doorstep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it can hear that when we recite durood, so then we must understand what must be the state of the hearing of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam himself. We really need to ponder upon this. So why would it not be the case that my dear son brothers, that when one of us in a time of need, out of love and devotion for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we recite durood, when we send salutations upon the Zaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would it then not be the case that he then recognizes his ummati, that he recognizes that his ummati is reciting durood upon him? And then would it not be the case that Rasulullah would help his ummati, would help his beloved ummati, his individuals who are Muslims believing in him? Would this then not be the case? So we must understand the ability that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And very beautifully, many lovers of the Rasul, they recite this very beautifully, again and again. Ke dur nazdeek ke sunne wale wo kaan, kaane laale karamat pe laakho salam. That the ears that hear from both near and far, countless salutations upon you, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That salutations upon those blessed ears, the ears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that angel can hear from near and far. But then definitely, 100%, without any doubt, that surely Allah Azza wa Jal has granted the greatest creation this ability to also hear from near and far. So the key is, my dear Islamic brothers and dear viewers as well, that we must call upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, send much salutation and request du'as and supplications through the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We should also consider a second aspect that I mentioned regarding this hadith, and that was related to love, related to ishq. It's a tradition in the world that if a beggar, he comes to an individual, if a beggar, he comes to a rich household and he keeps asking for something. He keeps knocking, he keeps asking again and again and again. What will happen eventually? The beggar will get what he wanted. Eventually the household, the rich household will be like, he's come so many times, he's asking again and again, we might as well give him something. We might as well give him something. He keeps asking for it, so we might as well give it to him. This is a concept that is understood by us. So what can we take from this? It is that when we increase our salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what is happening? Our name is being presented and our father's name is being presented more and more often. The more we recite, the more our name is being presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Would that not be the case then? Rasulullah then recognizes his ummati more. That when his name is presented more, if you keep hearing someone's name, you're going about your daily life, every day you're hearing this name again and again. Or you're hearing about this individual again and again and again. Finally it would come, let me go and meet this individual. Who is this individual? I keep being presented his name. Who is this individual? I should go and meet this individual. Or this individual, he keeps asking me for something. I might as well complete whatever he's asking for. So like this, if we increase our supplications, then no doubt, any worries, any parashanis, any type of worries that we have, financial issues, through the Zaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by sending salutations upon him, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, many of our problems can be solved. So we learn from this hadith as well, that increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and increase our devotion to him as well. As a poet, he very beautifully expresses this point in just a couplet. Ki yaad rakho agar, ut gayi ik nazar. Yaad rakho agar, ut gayi ik nazar. Jitne khali hai sab jaam bar jayenge. That we need only one glance from you, O Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Keep our names in mind. For if just one glance of yours reaches us, all of our empty cups will be filled. That keep sending salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and you will surely see the benefits yourself. So this was one remarkable hadith regarding sending salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Before getting to today's topic, alhamdulillah, we are all Muslims. And Islam is one of the greatest favors of Allah Almighty. And many of us will be born into the religion of Islam. And this is a great bounty of Allah Almighty. But true greatness and respect for the religion, it lies in that every single moment of our life is spent in accordance to the Sharia. Every single of our moment is spent in pleasing Allah Almighty. How do we do this? Whilst we are standing, sitting, sleeping, putting on certain clothing, speaking, listening, we do all of this in accordance with the Sharia. We need to look at every single aspect of our life and make sure that it is in accordance with the Sharia, because we have been given a huge blessing. So we must respect this blessing. We must ponder upon this, that every single of our actions, it must be in accordance with the Sharia. As in Surah Al-An'am, verse 162, Allah mentioned a verse regarding this concept, how every single one of our actions, every aspect of our life should be for Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions within the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say you, O beloved, my salah and my sacrifices and my living and my passing away are all undoubtedly for Allah Almighty, who is Lord of all the worlds. Subhanallah. Now, under this verse in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, it is stated that everything that has been mentioned within this verse, what was the verse again? As it mentioned, that my salah, my sacrifices, my living and my dying, my passing away, it is undoubtedly for Allah Almighty. So in reality, it mentions in the tafsir, in the explanation of this verse, that this is the template for a believer to live his life. That in Muslims, his life, his death, his worship, his sacrifices, it all should be for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the main core of this as well, that a person's passing away, that he should die within the state of Iman as well. This is very important. Now, if we look at the Islamic history, towards those individuals, those personalities who lived according to this Quranic ayah, that their living, their standing, their walking, every single thing that they did was for the pleasure of Allah Almighty. And we need to look no further than the Sahaba, the companion, radiallahu anhum, who themselves were such noble personalities that they were trained by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam himself. They were trained and taught Islam directly from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So tell me then, who can better know regarding the religion and practice the religion than the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Now, amongst the Sahaba, there are many great personalities. Such an individual who was the first free man to accept Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. None other than Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This great personality, and we will learn today inshallah regarding their sacrifices for Islam and how they lived their life, from their standing, from their sitting, to their worship. Every single aspect of their life was spent, why? To seek the pleasure of Allah Almighty. Through seeking the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So amongst them, the companions, one of the greatest companions, yes, the greatest creation after the Anbiya and the Prophets, is Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar. And today we will learn regarding their shining biography and regarding their history. Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar was amongst those individuals that when he was invited towards Islam, he accepted it straight away, without pondering and without thinking. This was the purity of his heart. This was the belief of oneness within his heart, that he did not ponder. This is a narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there were other people at that time, when they would hear the invite of Islam, they would think twice. Maybe to such an extent, they would get angry at the preaching of Islam. They would attack those individuals who are spreading Islam. Or others who are blessed to accept Islam, but they would take some time to ponder. They would take some time to think and reflect, and then come to accepting Islam. But Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar radiallahu an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that he was such an individual that when he was invited towards Islam, he accepted it straight away at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't ponder, he didn't think, but he accepted Islam due to having the belief of oneness of Allah within his heart. Even Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, okay, in one of his notions, he mentions that Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem and Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar radiallahu an, that they were who believed in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. They were never mushrik and they never had any concept of shirk within the heart. They always believed in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Since they were born up to the time that they accepted Islam, they believed in the oneness of Islam. And alhamdulillah, Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar, what a great personality he is. And we will learn regarding Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar. But before we do, let's learn some points which has been mentioned in a book by Amir al-Sunnah, Damat Barakatul Aliya, in his book called Unparalleled Devotee. He mentions a brief biography regarding Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar. What is the name of the first Caliph of Islam? The first Khalifa of Islam, Hazrat Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, what is his name? We call him by Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar or Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But Abu Bakr, this is his kunya. This is his technonym. This is in reality in his name. This is what he was known as. Yes? But what was his actual name? Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, his name was Abdullah, but very famously known as Siddiq Akbar or Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But his name was Abdullah and his kunya was Abu Bakr. The titles that he had, some of his very famous titles, amongst them were Siddiq, i.e. very truthful, Siddiq, and also he had the name Atiq. Why was he given this name? Because Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave him a glad tiding while saying, Anta Atiqum minan nar, that you are free from hellfire. Atiq gives the meaning of to be free from something. And Rasulullah said that you are free from the fire. Atiqum minan nar. And therefore, Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar, one of his titles is Atiq. Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar, Atiq, this is one of his titles. Another meaning of Siddiq can also mean the one who testifies. Because Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, he was amongst the first free man to accept Islam and testify on the prophethood of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now he, Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar, was a Qurayshi, just like the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He was born in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Now he had many great virtues, many great excellences, this great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And one of them is, as I've already mentioned, he was the most superior to all of mankind after the Prophets. It was after 2 years and 7 months of being the first Caliph of Islam, it was then that he radiallahu ta'ala an, he passed away. And he passed away on the 22nd of Jumadul Akhir. And another great, amazing point that we already know, but we should hear it again in order to refresh our hearts, in order to show us the rank of this individual. Because this blessing that Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar achieved at the time of his death was what? Because of his rank. because of his status. And no doubt it was for no other reason. It was due to his faith, his iman, his purity, and his piety, and his high status according to Allah, that he received this blessing at the time of his death. And what was this? That when Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an, he passed away, he left this world. It was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, that he led his funeral prayer. And he, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu an, he was laid to rest inside the illuminated shrine beside the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Imagine this. The purest creation of Allah, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After his apparent demise from this world, he's laid to rest within his blessed resting place. And then when Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar, after leading the Muslims for 2 years and 7 months, he's then laid to rest next to the beloved of Allah. What a great honor this would have been. What a great gift this was to Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar, that he was granted this ability after death as well, throughout his life. You could say he was the best friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then even after death, look how close he was to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the maqam and the status of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an. But as we go forward, inshallah, just to mention a quick waqiyah regarding Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar. So, in the early days of Islam, when the number of Sahaba had only reached about 38 companions, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar, he sought permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out and to spread Islam openly, give the da'wah of Islam openly. At the start, he wasn't granted permission, but eventually, on persisting a little bit, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted him the permission. And it was that time that Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, he stood in the middle of Makkah to deliver a sermon in order to call people towards Islam. But when the disbelievers of Makkah, they saw this, they heard about this, they became very angry. Remember, they didn't like Islam. They rejected the da'wah to Islam. And, madallah, at that time, due to their anger, they fell upon Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar and started to beat Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar due to him preaching Islam openly. As mentioned, that the wretched Utba bin Rabi'ah, that this wretched individual, he came close to Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar and he struck the blessed face of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar with his impure sandal on the face of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar. And it's mentioned that his face became unrecognizable due to how much the disbelievers of Makkah beat Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar due to preaching Islam now openly. Once the tribesmen of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar, they realized this, they heard about this, they came, protected him, and took him back to his house to give him shelter. And they also made an announcement as well that if Abu Bakr does not survive, then we will definitely kill Utba bin Rabi'a in retaliation, the tribesmen. Now when eventually, closer to the latter part of the day, near the night time, when Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar eventually gained consciousness, he first thing that he asked, he's just been beaten. He's just been beaten by the disbelievers of Makkah. He fell unconscious. The tribesmen bring him back, try to allow him time to heal. But as soon as he gained consciousness, what happened? The very first thing, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar, radiallahu anhu, what does he do as soon as he gains consciousness? The very first thing he asks is, how is the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar, had just been beaten brutally. But the very first thing in his mind, the very first thing that came on his tongue was, how is the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Making it short, this waqiyah. The family members, they tried to give Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar food and water and time to heal. But Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar wasn't worried about himself. He only cared about one personality, and that was the Zaat of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kept asking. Every time someone would say, you, worry about yourself? No, how is the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? He kept asking, and even to the extent that he asked his mother to go out and find out from other relatives as to how is Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam doing. And eventually, just bringing in short, that when finally the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he saw Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar, It was at this time that the Prophet became tearful due to seeing the state of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ came forward, he held him and he kissed him. And the beloved Prophet ﷺ, he was overcome with sadness due to seeing the state of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar. And then Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar, seeing that the Prophet ﷺ was fine and nothing had happened to him, he then says, that may my mother and father be sacrificed upon you. I am fine, only my face is slightly wounded. He had been unconscious, but he mentions, my worries are nothing. As long as Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is fine, I am fine also. What is Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar doing here? He's showing us his relationship between him and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he's leaving a message behind for all of us, for all believers in Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He's leaving a very crucial message that this is how our love for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be. That no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens, what calamities befall us, many things can happen, many doubts can come in our mind as well. But we need to try our best, and that our relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is never decreased. Rather, it is always increasing. And how can we do this? It is when we fully devote ourselves to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Siddiqi Akbar, before even the da'wah to Islam came, he was like this with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being his advisor, his best friend. Whether that was within war or with any other matter, he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That whatever hukum Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, it was truthful and he would act upon it. How are we when we hear a qawl, a saying of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How strong is our iman? Do we act upon the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We should definitely try to act upon this. But one quick share to mention regarding how Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar and how close he was to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ke parwane ko charag hai, bulbul ko phool bas. Parwane ko charag hai, bulbul ko phool bas. Siddiq ke liye hai khuda ka rasool bas. What a great share is written. That the moth is in need of the light. The bees, they go around the light. The moth is in need of the light. Parwane ko charag hai. The moth just needs the light. That's where it hangs around. Bulbul ko phool bas. Bulbul is a type of bird. And it only needs the flower. It just sticks around the flower due to the pollen, etc. But when it comes to Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar, ke Siddiq ke liye khuda ka rasool bas. Therefore, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu an, the messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is enough. He's sufficient with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our living, every action that we do, it should be to gain the pleasure of Allah Azzawajal, to gain the pleasure of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how can we do this? That when every single one of our actions, standing, sitting, walking, talking, listening, when every single thing is in accordance with the Sharia, then this will be when we are closer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we start acting upon the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you gain closeness to one of your friends when you do stuff they like? If you start doing things they hate, they'll be like, get away from me. Don't come near me. So like this, use the same logic. That to gain closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our actions should be in accordance to him. So final message, that act like Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar. That every single one of our actions should be for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to gain the ultimate pleasure of Allah Almighty. So may Allah allow us to act upon what was said and to follow these great personalities and their teachings and their stories and to take lessons from them and to complete our lives as believers and as Muslims. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah. We are calling upon you.